there's a chord there. I want to know what it is. Because yeah. You saw me go, ooh, and I think it might have, I think I nearly put you off then because I went,
No, don't worry, that's fine. where was it near?
It was the bit that says get away. It's that chord. Is that...
you want to stay. Oh, wait, hold on.
Sorry, there we go.
Don't worry. So it's in B major / G sharp minor, and it's a G sharp minor parallel down to G minor.
G minor.
Parallel down to F sharp minor 7.
Yeah.
B major first inversion. And be the one to stay. We could get away. Find a bar with you. It's very tasty. I love parallelism. There's a band in America called Lawrence, and one of their songs is called Hotel TV, which is incredible. It's like, I got a hotel TV, ain't nobody here to watch me. I got the little refrigerator with some liquor in it, and I wish that I could see you because it's been a minute. And it's just like that parallelism down from E major 7, E flat major 7. E minor 7, E flat minor 7, D minor 7, all in C, which is, like, again, I could talk about harmony for ages.
The thing is, I can't read music. I went, ooh, like that. I don't know if you thought I'd trodden on something. I went, ooh, like that. And when he played, that's why I wrote down the lyric. I was like, what is that called? So it's a G major.
Yeah, so, well, G sharp minor, parallel down to G minor 7, parallel down to F sharp minor 7, and then... first inversion to get back to the subdominant of E major.
I'd love to be able to play piano. You're making me sick now.
And this is Music Theory 101 at 11:30 in the morning.
Pretty angry now. Anyway, let's move back to the questions.
Absolutely.
What song out of all the artists in the world do you wish that you've written?
Oh, my word. Okay.
Sorry to throw that one at you.
No, that's fine. Okay, so bit of a story to tell about this one. So with my masters at Taliyard Education, we got to go on a songwriting camp in Copenhagen and coordinate with a record label called GL Music. Absolutely lovely people there, just outside Copenhagen. Such a lovely production venue, and all of the producers and songwriters there, so lovely. And while we were out there was also Eurovision 2022. So we were in Denmark with a multicultural group of people, and then me and my friend James Reedy, another brilliant Brummy singer-songwriter, being very much Rule Britannia for the UK entry. And just to see Sam Ryder do that well, and especially be from Malden as well, and be like almost shedding a tear and be like, that's my boy right there. So yeah, Spaceman, definitely. Yeah. It's definitely outside of my range because he's got such like an angelically high voice, Sam does. Mm. I'd love to bring it down slightly, and I would have loved to write it first. how dare the studios get to that quicker?
Yes.
It was weird because the 2021 entry for Eurovision was recorded and written at the place that I did my my master's at. Yeah. I think it was James Newman or one of the Newman brothers with Embers. It was like, out of the embers, there's a fire burning for you. And like, it was made at the studio that I did my master's at.
Yeah.
So it's really weird to have not only that master's connection in 2021 but also local lads in 2022, and then no connection in 2023, but it was just a great laugh really this year, wasn't it?
I didn't watch it. I'm terrible, don't look at me badly. Sorry,
that's fine. Yeah. It's my friend James Sayer, who was on my songwriting course with me, he's just been signed as a writer to a record label. But he basically grew up on Eurovision and is a Eurovision songwriter.
Mm.
And so some of his songs have got cuts for Eurovision and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so every year it's sort of like May is his favourite time of the year. Let's go. He just has a massive party when Eurovision goes on.
I think I went to bed early. Terrible, isn't it? Terrible thing to do. How do you start the songwriting process? Are you somebody who write down lyrics, or you get your... play keyboards and it comes out all different?
Admittedly, I'm worse with lyrics when I'm writing with people. When I'm on my own, I feel like I have no embarrassment with lyrics because it's like my own creation. Whereas if I'm in a songwriting group with maybe three or four people, I'm usually the person who comes up with the chords first and then they write around it because it's just so much easier. I know progressions a lot easier. Especially if it's like a pop progression, used to 1-4-6-5 and have different variations on that. Usually it's chords first and then we write over lyrics on top of that, and it just seems like a more productive way to work. Like the songwriting camp that I was telling you about earlier, the final day of it was mid-May on a Thursday, roasting hot in Copenhagen, and we were like, okay, you've got 7 hours to write, get a demo for this song and get a production ready for the listening session in 7 hours. Good luck. And basically just like getting down the most simplest of chords to start off with. and then sort of making something go from there. I don't think it got signed to anything in the end, but it was just nice to be like, hey, we did that in 7 hours and it sounds somewhat competent.
What is the best lyric you think you've ever written where you've gone, wow, George, that's amazing? Because every artist has that song that you go, where did it come from?
Okay, so as much as I say I've got two contenders for this, one that I wrote by myself and one that I wrote with someone else. I'll start with the one that I wrote with someone else to give them credit, with Josh Bruff, as I mentioned earlier. We basically were talking one day about, you know, when you go out on a night out and you have that one friend who's just a liability. We
sit next to me. Sorry. Hello, so, Martin, you're right.
So we ended up...
I was thinking that.
We ended up writing about that. And just like through the grapevine, it was like... and your spirits are always high because you drank them all before you came here. And like, I think that's one of my favorite lyrics, just combining like different cross-cultural meanings and stuff like that. It's one of my favorites that I've ever written. And we both looked at each other. It's like, oh, here we go. This is it. But one that I wrote myself, I have a lot of inspiration from people like Bruno Major. So a lot of very sort of soft, lo-fi pop and jazz. And as Taylor Swift did, like, you go through a breakup, you get more songwriting content. So I was going through that at the start of last year. One verse of a song that I wrote called, what was it called again? I'll remember the name. I'll shout it out in the middle of something, but a change of view, that was it. The first verse was, on a bright and sunny day, you're the shadows that make do. The seaside, you're the waves that flood the castle built for two. You're a pilot that forgot to make a heart shape as they flew. A reminder of not getting over you. And that was the first thing that came out, and it was lovely. Like, oh, I'm gonna make myself cry.
Oh, that was lovely, and it made you all tingly. I'm looking at you, Martin. Sorry, so it made you go all like your hair, you know what I mean.
I ended up winning a songwriting camp with songwriting session with that song. Yeah. In the summer, I arranged it with strings and everything, and it was gorgeous. And we got a live string quartet in, and it just sounded so good. And it makes your heart run when you actually do something that people like, and are like, hey, that was jazzy. And especially for like classical musicians to be like, oh, I liked playing that. It's like, you did, really? Thank you.
Now talking. About we talked about church earlier.
Yes.
And I've asked quite a few artists when they come in, do you sometimes feel that you get songs coming through you from somewhere else, or do you not have that? Because some singers say they get that, where it's like you write a song, you're like, that didn't feel like it actually came from me, it like came through spiritually from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Do you ever get that?
Especially when the songwriting is so quick, and it comes to you so quickly, when usually it would be such a, not a laborious process, but one that takes a bit more time than usual. One of the first songs I wrote at the start of last year was a song called I Really Hope You're Happy, which is coming out in around... late July, little plug. And so it would just, I ended up writing it in 10 minutes when usually a song would take about like 3 or 4 hours with a group of people. And one of the verses was like, I say that I'm fine, but we both know I'm lying. I am a child. My naivety is blinding. And I'm hoping upon hope. Hear me, tell myself I'm useless and will be till I die. And like things that come out of you that quickly, so simple yet so effective at the same time, are like, again, it's one of those moments where you're like, I'm not really having to write this. It's sort of playing along with me. Like, it's just taking your feelings. And sometimes you hum over a melody and some lyrics and you think, that's not just placeholder, that's golden. And all of them in that session were like, haha, I like this. What? I like this. What? I like this. And it just kept getting to that. And by the end of the song, I was like, I've got it.
You definitely have. I wish you could stay here all day. Then I could sort of, you know, used to say, George, can you play something? I'm just going to do a little, you know, 1 o'clock, do a song. You know, you should be here every day. Mm.
Just a Mario King.
I'm just looking at Martin, and now he's not saying anything. He makes a noise in the background. now he's just staring at me and making me feel like there's nobody there.
I'm not sure what I can contribute to that particular. No, maybe. Well, you've got a writer of songs not being able to play an instrument. No. I don't know how I could really.
But you appreciate music,
don't
you?
I do appreciate music. Yeah. Very much.
And stand in front of the artist when they're doing a gig. Now, just moving very quickly on here, we've got you're a supporter. I've seen on your page anti-racism and driving donations and sharing information in support of racial justice and inequality. Tell us about how you got involved.
Especially I was the musical director for a gospel choir at my time at Durham. I was in that choir for the last 2 years, and especially as COVID sort of came around, we didn't get to do concerts, and we saw all of these issues, very systemic issues, not only in the US but in the UK as well. So I think when someone else doesn't have the power to do something and you feel like you should, there's no reason why you shouldn't, really. And so I donated for the last 3 years, like, regularly to the Equal Justice Initiative over in America, which was more prominent during the sort of George Floyd's uprisings at the time. It was a fund to help people who had been incarcerated or in jail with legal funds and stuff like that. Especially if you've got the time and the energy to help, there's no reason why you shouldn't, really. And any sort of displays that you can do towards that are something. It's better than absolutely nothing, because if you stay silent, then you stay complicit, really.
Excellent. Thank you. Do you know what? I was just looking at the time then. I thought it was 57 minutes to it. It's not. It's 53. We're fine. We're fine.
We've got 7 minutes.
We've got time to get a song in. And also to ask you about, you've got some tracks coming out for the rest of the year.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've got some festivals and you've got some gigs. So do you want to list the gigs that you've got coming up?
Cool. Amazing. So hopefully I'll have 3 tracks by the end of the year. The first one being I Really Hope You're Happy, which I heard the snippet of. The second would be the next one that I'm about to play for you. And the third one will be Valencia, out in October, November time. Very heavy May and June coming up. I've got performances at my residency at Mrs. Riot in Covent Garden, as well as playing in Chelmsford for a charity gig coming up. Was it the Golden Fleece, which is the place?
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, I've got that coming up at the end of the month. I'm really looking forward to that. In June time, I'm playing at HMV Southend, and in August time, I'm playing at HMV Chelmsford as well. The first 2 times I would have played at an HMV situation, and if you're around in June or August in Essex, very vague, but August 12th I think was the day in Essex, in Chelmsford.
It's a fantastic gig. It really is
absolutely gorgeous. I'm hoping for more festival opportunities to come up soon. I 2 weeks ago I just played Northern Kin Festival, which is a festival up in County Durham. I had the Saturday at 6 o'clock slots, which was great, until I realised that Bill Bailey was headlining the tent next to me, and I thought, okay, that's the larger of my older audience going from this set. I played Northern Kin a few weeks ago. I'm playing Taste of London at Regent's Park in June, and in August I'm playing Roofest in Cambridge, organised by some really talented students and young artists who are really passionate about their craft as well. And hopefully, fingers crossed, more will book me soon. So I'm just really looking forward to that.
So amazing voices you just heard, George Bone. And if you can find him on Linktree, all the things are there for your Instagram, for Facebook, for TikTok and for YouTube. Yeah.
The main social media you can find me on is on Instagram, and you can find me at the handle at George Bone Music. No uppercases, just all lowercase, George Bone Music.
So the next track you're going to play live in the studio, tell us about this one.
Yeah, so me and a local songwriter from Brentwood called Josie Beth, actually. We wrote this first in an online session, as Zoom sessions usually go, and we were sort of struggling to write the chorus of this for the first 4 hours, but then I ended up mumbling over the vocals for the verses, and they somehow managed to stick. And it was that weird situation, again, where just something comes at you and you're like, oh, this can actually work. And we were both talking, like, as just people who have been affected by the last sort of 3 years, and also just stuff that goes on in life as well. And we were basically just having a therapy session to each other throughout the songwriting session. And we were like, hey, why don't we just write a song about that? And we're like, yeah, sure, let's go for it.